At different times this month, we will read from this book, this chapter, and these two chapters, chapters 2 and 3, and we will look at the overcomer. He who overcomes, the Lord Jesus says, he who overcomes. So at different points, I will come back to you, and there will be a couple of visiting ministers that will come and give some insight into this aspect. Because I think it's important that we live lives of overcomers. And today I'm going to just open it up and just begin that process of us. Too many of us are living lives of defeat. Too many. You see, the life of an overcomer is not a life that doesn't have challenges. That's not what being an overcomer is about. An overcomer is somebody that overcomes whatever the situation may be. So it is important in our walk with God that we live the lives of overcomers. Amen. Chapter 2, verse 1. To the angel of the church in Ephesus, write. These are the words of him who holds the seven stars in his right hand and walks among the seven golden lampstands. I know your deeds, your hard work, your perseverance. I know you cannot tolerate wicked men, that you have tested those who claim to be apostles but are not, and have found them false. You have persevered and have endured hardships for my name and have not grown weary. Yet I hold this against you. Remember the height from which you have fallen. Repent and do the things you did at first. If you do not repent, I will come to you and remove your lampstand from its place. But you have this in your favor. You hate the practices of the Nicolaitans, which I also hate. Verse 7, he who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. To him who overcomes, I will give the right to eat from the tree of life, which is in the paradise of God. In this message to the seven churches in Asia, the Lord Jesus, this was the revelation of Jesus to John. The Lord Jesus had gone back to glory, and this was John on the island of Patmos, waiting before the Lord, and he received these words from the Lord, the book of Revelation. And so this is an encouragement to us from our Savior. It's an invitation to us. To him who overcomes. And you'll see later on when I show you the table that shows the what awaits the overcomer. You'll know that it is worth fighting the battle to overcome. Amen. So let's begin the journey this morning. If you put the first light on for me, please. And we'll begin the journey. Hallelujah. You see, you and I, if you know the Lord Jesus as your Savior, you are an overcomer. And I want you to have a look at this second slide. Have a look at that. What do you see there? This second slide. Tragedy, faith, struggle, hardship, strength, inspirational, test, opportunity, challenge, joy, courage, hope, obstacle. What did Paul say? He said, in all these things, what shall separate us from the love of God? And he listed things not dissimilar from those things. And he said, no, in all these things, we're more than conquerors. See, the life of an overcomer is a person that through every circumstance walks like an overcomer. Because you see, the secret is this. We don't have to be, we don't have to pretend to be overcomers. We don't have to aspire to be overcomers. We are overcomers through Christ Jesus. We're more than conquerors, not because we fought, but because of what Jesus won for us. The challenge is for us to learn to live like overcomers. Let me tell you something. The princes of England, they are princes. They don't have to pretend to be princes. The challenge is for them to walk like princes. Are you with me? They're already princes, but they can live lives when they walk like non-princes. The good news for us is that we are overcomers. But the challenge is for us to learn to live like overcomers. Because there's a difference between those who live like overcomers and those who don't. Do you know this? That our identity, and the first thing I'm going to talk about today, it's all about our identity. That we are already overcomers. In John 16, 33, the Lord Jesus said, in this world, listen to this, you will have trouble, but take heart, I have overcome the world. That's what Jesus said. He was talking about them that they might have peace. You know, when you see somebody who is not an overcomer, one of the symptoms is that they don't have any peace. Jesus was saying to the disciples, in me, you will have peace. In the world, there is tribulation. Let me tell you, there is nothing happening in the world that's strange to the Lord Jesus. He knew all, the Lord God knew all these things would happen. And Jesus warned the disciples. He said, hey, there'll be tribulation. There'll be all sorts of things happening. But I have overcome the world. We'll come back to that point later. So the first thing for us to understand is that we are overcomers because the Lord Jesus overcame the world. Let somebody say amen to that. You see, for you to understand that you are an overcomer, you need to understand that your identity is in Christ Jesus. I am an overcomer because the Lord Jesus overcame the world. Let's move on to the next stage. In 1 John chapter 5, verses 4 and 5. Listen to this. The word of the Lord says, victory that overcame the world, our faith. You see, and then he goes on to say, who is it that overcomes the world? It is he that believes that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Are you catching those things? It didn't say, who is he that will overcome challenges? That's not what it's saying. It said, who is it that overcomes the world? It is he that believes that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. We are overcomers because the Lord Jesus has already overcome the world. And you'll notice there that the reference is the world. The challenges we have are all wrapped up in the world. So you need to understand that in Christ Jesus, you have overcome the world. When you, the day you gave your life to Christ, your identity got hidden in Christ Jesus. Paul said this, he said, it is no longer I that lives, but it is Christ that lives in me. He said, the life which I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave his life for me. You see, Paul understood that his identity is in Christ Jesus. If Jesus is an overcomer, I am an overcomer. Amen. I don't know whether that excites you or not, but when you see a challenge face you, if you understand fundamentally who you are, it affects the way you tackle that challenge. You look at yourself in the mirror and say, I'm an overcomer. Praise the Lord. Are you with me? I'm an overcomer. We're going to look at different aspects of overcoming in the next over the next few months. Hallelujah. You are overcomers. But you know, let me tell you something else. Let me tell you a little secret. In 1 John chapter 4, the references for this part are all in 1 John. 1 John chapter 4, please open verses 1 to 6. I wanted to open verses 1 to 6 because it is so powerful what is the picture that's painted there. 1 John chapter 4, verses 1 to 6. I'm going to read it to you. Hallelujah. I'm going to read it to you. Dear friends, do not believe every spirit. I want you to get the picture here. Dear friends, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits to see whether they're from God. Because many false prophets have gone out into the world. This is how you can recognize the Spirit of God. Every spirit that acknowledges that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is from God. But every spirit that does not acknowledge Jesus is not from God. This is the spirit of the Antichrist, which you have heard is coming, and even now is already in the world. Listen to this, verse 4. You, dear children, are from God and have overcome them, because the one who is in you is greater than the one who is in the world. Let me tell you a little secret. There is the spirit of deception that tells people that Jesus is not the Christ. The day you believed that Jesus is the Christ, you know what happened? You overcame that spirit of deception. Do you know, even theologians, professors of theology, some of them don't get it. There are all sorts of debates and all sorts of nonsense on the internet. Let me tell you this morning, you have overcome already when you came into Christ, because you came through that spirit of deceit. It said you have already overcome the spirit of error. There are some who will say, yeah, Jesus is a prophet. But is he the Christ? I don't know about that one. There's some that would say, yeah, Jesus is a good person. He's a good person. You know? But is he Christ, the Son of God? No, I don't know about that one. You see, there is a spirit of error which is deceiving people. You know, on the BBC, on any day, you'll hear quotations, at least one sentence from the words of the Lord Jesus. But all these people who are quoting these phrases, many of them do not believe that he is Christ, the Son of God. You know why? Because there's a spirit in the world, the spirit of error that messes up people's mind. But when you come to Christ and believe that he's the Son of God, guess what? You have overcome. Hallelujah. Turn around to somebody this morning and say, you are an overcomer. You've already overcome. That's the good news. Oh, wow. Hallelujah. You know, the joyful thing is that I don't know what happened at my salvation. Do you know, it is still a mystery to me. By the grace of God, I came through the wall of doubt. Hallelujah. And I came through, and suddenly I got it that Jesus is the Son of God. People say to me, prove it. I say, yeah, prove it. I was talking to somebody this week. It's proof. I said, this is not a proof. Taste it and see. It's a miracle. You've got to come through that wall of doubt. And suddenly you realize he is the Son of God. For those who come to that understanding, let me say to you today, you are an overcomer. Amen. You don't have to try to be an overcomer. You are an overcomer. The challenge is to live the life of an overcomer. Hallelujah. Say amen to that. Hallelujah. We are overcomers. Paul put it this way, we are more than conquerors. Wow, what a joy it is to know the Lord Jesus. And the final point is this. This life of overcoming. Again, in 1 John chapter 3, there is a sweet part there that talks about love. And in John chapter 15, verses 9 to 11, the Lord Jesus said this about love. Hallelujah. Again, let me read it to you very quickly, because the word of God must be read. Hallelujah. Chapter 15. As the Father has As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Who was saying this? The Lord Jesus. He said, as the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Now remain in my love. If you obey my commands, you'll remain in my love, just as I've obeyed my Father's command and remain in his love. There is something fundamental about the love of God. You'll come back to it for you to understand the message of an overcomer that was given to the church of in Ephesus. You see, the word was, he said, but you have. What did he say? But you have. No. About the first love? You have forsaken your first love. He said, oh, you've done, you're great in this, you're great in that, you're great in that, you're great, but you're forsaking your first love. You need to understand that what brought you into becoming an overcomer is because somebody loved you. Hallelujah. It wasn't something you put on yourself. It was the gift of God, lest no one should boast. I am an overcomer because it is given to me by grace. Amen. Are you with me? So I need to understand that the key to my overcoming is hooked in the love of God. Are you with me? Jesus said, remain in my love. Hallelujah. Remain in my love. It is fundamental to living the life of an overcomer. Amen. So those are four things we've just picked up. They're very, very important. How many of you want to live the life of overcoming? Oh, I want to, you know. The life of an overcomer is a fantastic life. And you know, you read 2 Corinthians. Part of it was read to us when we were having our 7 days fasting. And if you read the things that Paul said, he said, I was flogged and I was whipped and I was locked up and I was imprisoned and I was this. And did he crush him? No way. No way. You know, that the life of a non-overcomer is a crushed life. I don't want to live like a crushed life. The Lord Jesus died so that I might walk in victory. That if we say the Lord died for me, I have to walk victoriously. Hallelujah. That is what is offered to us. Lives of overcoming. But wow, hallelujah. Come on, praise the Lord. Somebody praise the Lord. Somebody praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Oh, what a joy it is to know the Lord. Hallelujah. I said that the Lord Jesus said he had overcome the world. In one of the sessions, we will talk about some of these things further. Today, I'm just going to reference them very quickly. In our lives, look at those. No, go on to the next slide, please. Go on to the next slide. Yes. Wonderful. Yeah, go on. Fantastic. You see, those are the challenges we fight. Is that right? The first one is this, Satan. And you'll see there, The references to us fighting Satan, we'll come to the month we look at the struggle against Satan. You know, you will see there why it is important that to live the life of an overcomer, you need to understand how that the Lord Jesus, when he said, I have overcome the world, these are the things. Do you know Satan was thrust down from heaven? And he ended up on planet Earth to torture us. Hallelujah. But you know the great news? It said these are they that walked through, that came through the tribulation. You know, look at that. The Lord Jesus, the first thing we need to know is that he defeated Satan. Hallelujah. He overcame him. And just to give you one or two examples, you remember when he was tempted in Luke 4, you know, the devil came to him and tempted him and told him, you know, take the turned stone into bread and so on and so forth. And the Lord Jesus said, it is written. We know that. And you know, at the end of that section in Luke 4, it is said that the Lord Jesus, that Satan left him and went away from him till another opportune time. The Lord overcame Satan. But that was not the only time. In Hebrews 4, hallelujah, in Hebrews 4, you'll find that it is said that, let's, again, I'm just going to read that. Please, for those of you who can open your Bibles fast, do this so that you can read some of these passages and so that people will know that it is the Word of God that's speaking these things. In Hebrews chapter 4, Hebrews chapter 2, verse 4. Anybody found it? 2, 4. What does it say? Oh, sorry, 2:14, 2:14, not 2:4, 2:14. Amen. Yes, since the children have flesh and blood, he too shared in their humanity. Who is he talking about? Jesus. He shared in our humanity. Okay, go on. So that by his death he might break the power of him who holds the power of death. Who is he talking about? The devil. You see, the Lord Jesus defeated the devil. He broke the power of death. Hallelujah. He defeated him on the cross. So when I said that the Lord Jesus defeated the devil, you can see that even in the book of Hebrews, it repeats that. These are the battles we must fight. Jesus overcame. He overcame the enemy. Now, what are the struggles of the flesh? Anybody familiar with the struggles of the flesh? We'll look at those later. You know, another area where we've got to overcome. Did Jesus overcome the battles of the flesh? When the devil said to him, look at stones turned to bread, he was hungry. Is that right? Some of you can't fast. I love the Lord so much, but my tummy comes first. You know? Hallelujah. He showed the Lord Jesus. This is the devil. He showed him the whole kingdom of man, all the wealth. He said, what? Bow down to me. Bow down to me and I'll give you everything. And the flesh is saying, ooh, I could do with a bit of that. I could do with a bit of that. And the Lord Jesus said, no, it is written. Hallelujah. The devil tried the third time. He said, look at the kingdom. It's all yours. All you have to do is to bow down to me. Isn't it? Jump, he said. He said, jump. They'll hold you and you'll be all right. Jump. The Lord Jesus said, no, it is written. You know, the temptations that we face, the Lord Jesus overcame them. Hallelujah. In fact, he laid it all down for us. Hallelujah. He overcame his enemies. Hallelujah. Throughout the New Testament, you'll find that the Pharisees and the Sadducees and all the other seas were always coming at him. Is that right? To try to trick him, to try to trip him, and Herod and all these people. Even on the cross, they flogged him, whipped him as he was going to the cross. When he was dying, what did he say? Father, forgive them. Hallelujah. You see, he overcame even his enemies with the love of the Father. You know, in Christ Jesus, we are overcomers because he overcame the struggles of the mind. Remember in the Garden of Gethsemane, when he was in pain and agony, he said, Father, if it be possible that this cup would pass, nonetheless, not my will, but yours be done. He overcame even the struggles of the mind. In that Garden of Gethsemane, is that right? When he was struggling, is that right? And he could see what was coming. Said, Father, must I go through this? He overcame those struggles of the mind. What of death? The final victory was won over death. That is why it said, hell and death, where is your sting? Where is your victory? The Lord Jesus defeated death. This is our joy when we lose people we love. We know that death is defeated. The Lord Jesus overcame death. Anybody knows the proof for that? On the third day, he rose from the dead. He defeated death. Hallelujah. So that we also may know that we have overcome. So in Christ Jesus, folks, we're overcomers. Because every area of our challenge, Christ Jesus has overcome. This is why in him, we're overcomers. Now, let's move on to Revelation 2 and look more specifically at the church at Ephesus. I said this is an overview, okay, that the Lord Jesus overcame. In John 16:33, he said, I have overcome the world. And we can see the evidence for that. All the challenges that bring struggle to us, the Lord Jesus overcame them. So that in him, when a person believes in him, we are overcomers. And in us is the power to overcome those things that we will also face. So what is the challenge? Now, the next slide, this is the summary of what awaits those that overcome. It's absolutely incredible. There are seven churches in Asia. Now, you might find over the 2,000 years, there have been many attempts to understand this passage. Some have said it's dispensational, you know, that it talks about the ages, okay? Over 2,000 years, this first period between AD 0 or AD 23, depending on where you're starting from, and AD 500, and then, you know, and there are seven periods. And the final period will be, at the end of the final period, the Lord Jesus will come back. Okay? There are some that have done some calculations and they say this is what that passage means. The Lord Jesus didn't quite say that. There are others who have said these seven messages represent seven different types of churches. Okay? That there are some churches who are Smyrna, there are some churches that are Ephesus, and so on. Again, it's possible. These are some of the thoughts that people who have tried to understand these passages have come up with. Now, there is no doubt that at the time that John wrote this book, there were those seven churches in those seven parts of Asia. He was not writing speculatively. He was writing to real churches. The prophecy was to real churches. The church in Ephesus, the church in Smyrna, in Pergamos, in Philadelphia. These churches existed. Also, it is also historically documented that these churches had these challenges in them. Okay? So it was not mythical, just throwing it up in the air. The Word of God was speaking to specific groups of people. What I would say to us is this, that there is much for us to learn, because what is applicable to one church, it is still to God's body. So I would rather say to us, as church, let us learn from the word of God. Are you with me? Because this is to the church. Whether it be to the church in Anfield or the church in Gambia or wherever, it doesn't matter. It is to the body of Christ. Now, so this is what awaits us. To eat from the tree of life. They will not be hurt by the second death. Isn't that amazing? Hidden manna to eat, a white stone with a new name written. Power over the nations, the morning star. They'll get the morning star. Some of these are just too incredible for us to understand. Clothed in white garment and name not blotted out from the book of life. Name confessed before the Father and the angels. And made a pillar in the temple of God. Imagine a pillar, Brother Joe, that says, Joe, you'll have a new name then, so we don't know what the... Hallelujah. We don't know what the new name will be, but it will be your name. Hallelujah. A pillar in the temple of God. Name, new Jerusalem. And Jesus' name written upon. And then we will sit with Jesus on his throne. I would say to you, beloved, that these are all promises for those that believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. It is not to some special group. All these promises are for all that believe. It says to them that overcome. Blessed are those who hear what the Spirit says to the church. If you are an overcomer, this is what awaits you. Hallelujah. Now, let's move on to the next slide, please. Thank you. We're now going to bring it home. Looking more particularly about that church in Ephesus. Like I said, today, I'm just going to look very briefly at the church in Ephesus. And then we will pray. Okay? It is said of the church in Ephesus that they were vigilant. Okay? It is said that they worked hard. They endured hardship. Is that correct? What else did he say about them? That's positive. Let's look at the positive ones first. I mean, when you read that account, you'll think this was quite a church. I don't know about you, but that's the impression I get. He said, I know your deeds, your hard work, your perseverance. I know you cannot tolerate wicked men. You know, they got their theology right. They made sure that they stayed on the right side of the word of God. They couldn't tolerate false prophets. They persevered. They endured hardships. They have not grown weary. You would think that would meet with a big tick. Right? And yet it says, but I have these against you. And what is it? You have forsaken your first love. Remember the height from which you've fallen. And the question I would ask myself is this. How would I know if I'm one of those? I want to say to you, check yourself this morning. Remember that our primary life is that we're overcomers. Have things started going wrong with you in your walk with God? We may be doing all the practical stuff. But when something goes wrong in your love relationship with God, you fall on dangerous grounds. Are you with me? Remember that it is that love that's the source of us becoming overcomers. You see the sign of trouble when a person's love with God begins to change. And how do you know that? The things you used to do before. Is that a good way to know it? It says, look at the height from which you have fallen. Is that what it says? That's right. So I will say to you this morning, where are you now? Where was the highest point in your walk with God? Have you fallen down? Have you fallen down from there? If you have, it's a sign of trouble. And invariably, you know what it comes down to? It doesn't come down to the amount of things you're doing. That's not the problem. Sometimes we think, yeah, I'll just stop doing this, or I'll just stop doing that, or you know. But it's not about the things you've been doing. It's about our primary relationship with the Lord. When that goes, it's like a relationship, a normal relationship. I love you, I love you, I love you, in a love relationship. Then something begins to go wrong. And you see the relationship begin to fracture. At the heart of it is the love that's fading. Are you with me? Something is eating up that love. And when that love is affected, you know, when love is affected in normal relationship, what does it lead to? Discontentment, isn't it? Irritation, anger, you know, unforgiveness. All sorts of things flow from it. The primary problem is not in the things we're doing, but in our love with God. But the way it shows itself is the things that we stop doing. Does that make sense? Does that make sense what I'm saying to you? Before, I used to spend an hour with God in prayer. Now I've got 5 minutes at best. What does that tell me? Sister Lynn, what does that tell me? Something is wrong. That's right, isn't it? Before, you know, I would go and tell people about Jesus. I could not wait to tell people about the love of God. When was the last time I had a testimony? It's a sign that something is wrong. I'm not necessarily saying when was the last time I came forward to testify, but when was the last time that I genuinely shared with people what God is doing in my life? These are just signs of the love. And very, very quickly, what is the recommendation for that? The first one is repent. You know, repentance has to do with recognizing where I have been fallen. That's what it talks about. Do Christians need to repent? Yes, you bet we do. Repent is turning around. It's recognizing this was the height I was at before. Something has happened to me. I am no longer overcoming. Get back to your love. Get back to your relationship with God. And you'll find that your overcoming life will be restored. This is the root of our overcoming. If that part is not sorted out, we will continue to live lives of defeat. In Christ, we overcome. Remember what I said before, and I'll finish up with this. Overcoming does not mean we don't have challenges. Overcoming means being able to stand on top of the challenges we have and still being able to declare that Jesus Christ is Lord. Amen. Let's rise to pray. Let's rise to pray. Hallelujah. And we're just going to pray that God will restore our love. This is all of us find ourselves in positions. We've got to examine ourselves. I examine myself as well. Lord, where am I in you? What are the things I used to do before? Where am I now? Restore me. But it is about the love relationship. So let us pray. Let us pray.